Look at verse number 1 where the Bible reads, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." And the phrase I want to focus on there is verse 5 where it says, having a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness. Now, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 is warning us of just generalities. The fact that the world's going to be a dangerous place, especially when we near the end, that there's going to be a lot of wicked people, that the love of many is going to wax cold, how the Bible describes it in Matthew 24. But I like verse number 5 because it gives us a little bit more distinction of who we're talking about or some of the dangers that are out there. It's warning about people that have a form of godliness. So it appears like they're godly or they have some kind of facade that makes them seem godly. But the Bible says they're denying the power thereof. And the title of my morning sermon is Black Churches. Black Churches. Now, if you're already offended, you should get up and walk out, okay? I haven't said anything offensive, okay, but we're gonna look at what the Bible has to say, and we're going to talk about this thing called black churches, which is causing a problem because you know why? They have a form of godliness, but in many cases, they're denying the power thereof, okay? Now, if you look up on Wikipedia, it literally has a category called black churches. So it's not like I came up with that. That's not my opinion. This is just a reality, okay? And they have three classifications for black churches. They have the AME, or the African Methodist Episcopalian. They have the National Baptist Convention. And then they have the Church of God in Christ. So they have three different main denominations. Now, when I say black church, what do I mean by that? What does Wikipedia mean by that? It's basically where churches are gathered together, and the most important factor is the people in there are black. That's basically the reason why they're joining together. That's kind of part of the essence of why they're meeting together. There's churches, you could say, there's the Korean church. What's the Korean church? Well, they all speak Korean, right? Or, you know, there's the Hispanic church. What is that? Why is the Hispanic church? Because they all speak Spanish, okay? What is the black church? It's a church where people are literally coming to the church only because everybody else there is black, okay? Now, I think that's a horrible reason to ever go to church is based on skin color. And look, there's a lot of churches that are white as snow, and I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. Catholic church, I mean, I don't want to go to that kind of a church, okay? And you look at our church today, we have people from virtually all over the world, different kind of nationalities, different kinds of skin color, and it's pretty representative of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It might favor some people a little bit more than others, but that's not my fault, okay? Now, when it comes to black churches, when it comes to these congregations, okay, I want to at least say this. Go to Acts chapter 17 for a moment. Go to Acts chapter 17. The Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." The Bible does not make a distinction based on nationality, based on your skin color, based on physical characteristics. It does not care if you're tall, short, big, skinny, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. It doesn't matter. And in fact, the church of God should be representative of people that love Jesus Christ, and that's it. It doesn't matter any of the other demographics. It doesn't matter any other things that are going on. Even in fact, it says bond nor free, meaning we shouldn't have the slave church and then have the non-slave church, okay? And obviously, America is steeped in racism. America has a long history of being very racist, even not that long ago. I mean, the 1960s had some serious bouts of racism where you could literally walk up to a water fountain and it said, "For whites only." What kind of nonsense is that? The society that we lived in, and in fact was propagated by Baptist churches, was taught by supposed men of God. I can't use the same water fountain as somebody. I mean, it makes me think of this coronavirus where I have to wear a mask. I mean, it's just nonsense that's always been pushed by liberal media, by government, by politics, just for their agenda. And we'll get there in a moment. But look, stealing people and forcing them to be a slave of you is always wicked. The Bible preaches against this. The Bible even teaches that if you steal someone and try to sell them, that you should be put to death. Okay? So nowhere in the Bible is it condemning what most people think of when they think of the word slavery. Okay? When we think of people being shackled and taken from a foreign country and forced into servitude, that is wicked. That is not of God's word. And nowhere does the Bible teach, like, go to a certain area and gather people that look differently than you and force them to be your slaves. That's an ungodly attribute that is not taught in the Bible. Owning people as property is not part of the Bible, unless you have an ESV, unless you have a Holman Christian Standard Bible, where they literally add the word slave into the Bible hundreds and hundreds of times. I believe, if I remember off the top of my head, you could fact check me on this, the Holman Christian Standard Bible uses the word slave 314 times. You know how many times it's used in your King James Bible? Twice. Okay? And one of those is a definitive, just negative mention. The other one's just kind of, you know, just part of the what's being mentioned. But nowhere in the Bible is it teaching you to be a slave. This is a Calvinist ideology, because instead of being a servant of God, you're a slave of God, okay? And it somehow teaches that slavery's not that bad. Slavery's always bad. And look, I'm not a slave of God. I'm a servant of God. Amen. I'm a child of God, okay? Yeah, slavery's wicked. Acts chapter 17, verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. God has made us of all one blood. You say, how many races are there? There's one blood. Now, obviously, from a humanistic perspective and from what our medical community tells us, they categorize people in virtually like five different races, but that's not something found in your Bible. That's not something found from God's word. God does not make those type of delineations or distinguishments. Usually the only distinguishments we've made based on nations, not based on race at all. And even then, we're still one blood of all nations. So meaning there's not a nation upon this earth that hasn't come from the same blood. We all descended from Adam and Eve, and we all descended off of Noah's Ark too, okay? So we all came from the same people. People are people today. And in fact, your physical characteristics don't really make up much difference when it comes to the grand scheme of our DNA. We are very similar. Now, let me dive into some of these churches for a moment, okay? The AME, the African Methodist Episcopalian. It already sounds terrible, okay? Methodist Episcopalian? How are you going to mix those two, okay? It's formed in 1816. I looked at their statement of faith. So you can go, they have like a general website where they give you information about what they believe. And frankly speaking, I don't care what they name themselves, but I do care about what they believe. I do care about how they represent the Word of God and the Bible. And this is what their statement of faith says about salvation. It says that we are justified not by our work, but by the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I agree with that. That sounds good. Number two, that good works that we do spring from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and our willingness to walk in the Spirit of God. Well, I mean, honestly, you can't do good works unless you're saved anyways, so I can generally agree with that statement. Number three, the idea of works of superior erogation, which I've never heard that word until I saw it in here, okay? This is what it means, works beyond what we need for salvation. That's what they mean by supererogation, okay? It sounds like, you know, watering my lawn really well, but is not relevant because the good that we do is offset by the bad that we do. They say, you know, all those good works that you're supposed to do after getting saved, this they say literally, it's not relevant because the good that you do is offset by the bad that you do. What kind of teaching is that? Where did that come from? Not from the Word of God. The Bible says God's not forgetful to, you know, he's not unfaithful to forget your works of labor and love. Hebrews chapter number 6, right? Now, this is what they say in 4, okay? So this is kind of a culmination of their views of salvation. It kind of sounded good. It's kind of getting weird all of a sudden. Then number 4 just goes straight to heresy. That while we all sin after justification, we can be forgiven if we earnestly ask the Lord to forgive us. And there's your Methodist theology coming strident right in. Look, they believe, hey, as soon as you sin, well, as long as you go beg and plead and get right with God, then you're saved. But you can't just stay saved and keep on sinning. And look, I've met Methodists my whole life. They all believe in work salvation, virtually. I mean, it's a rare bird to meet a Methodist that does not believe you have to continually ask for forgiveness and continually stay right with God. They all believe you can lose your salvation. And that's in the same breadth of this AME church. And look, it's a bad church. Now, I looked up a very specific one just to see what they say. Because usually when you get the label or the main website, they kind of disguise their language and try to keep it a little bit more palatable for a broader audience. But I picked out one. It says Ebenezer African Methodist Episcopal Church. Whatever Google's filtering the results to get me to click on, okay? This is what they say. Number one, admit that you're a sinner. Hey, amen. Verse two, or number two, point for salvation. This is the way of salvation. They have a very specific page dedicated to how to get saved, okay? Number one, admit that you're a sinner. Number two, believe in your heart Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. Hey, praise the Lord on that one. Yeah, amen. And believe that he died for your sins. Number three, repent. The Bible tells us, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for God's mercy. By faith, receive Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation. Now, this is just kind of a confusing sentence because the verse that they're talking about where it says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish, is completely taken out of context. It has nothing to do with spiritual salvation. That is not what the Bible is teaching. So some of the things they're saying are kind of generally right, but they're kind of confusing, and then it brings back on faith. So, you know, I'll just kind of say that was weird, all right? But then here's number four point for their salvation. Be willing to change, to forsake all sin, to humble yourself and live for Jesus. Ask God for his help to make the change. Well, my first question would be, how willing? You said all sin. So does that mean if I'm not willing to give up every single sin, I cannot be saved? That is what they teach, and that is what they believe, and they have a fake version of the gospel.
Right.
Their version of the gospel is a life change, is a changing of your life. If you have to give up your sin, and I'm going to prove that even further. And look, all these churches are virtually the same, okay, when it comes to salvation. It's a false gospel. The AME does not have saved people in it. And that what a bad reason to go to a church just because everybody there has the same skin color, even though they have a false gospel.
Yeah.
Why do you care what skin color they have? You should care what the Bible says.
Right.
You should care what God's word says. Now, I'm going to skip the Baptist one for a second. We're going to go to the crazies first. Church of God in Christ, all right? Now, in 1907, Charles Harrison Mason, it's a bad last name, formed the Church of God in Christ after his Baptist church expelled him. So we're starting out with people that are thrown out of Baptist churches. Now, if this church, you know, has any kind of history, think about the people that have been thrown out of this church, okay? And then going and starting their own little church. Oh, I can think of some people. That always works out pretty well, doesn't it? That's how it starts. You know how a good church starts? A good church sends a good person out to start a church. That's how a good church starts, all right? I don't remember when Peter and John are kicked out of their local assembly to go do missions work. Or the apostle. No, he was sent out. He was called by the Holy Ghost. He was a good representation, okay, of the Word of God. This is how bad church splits start. And in fact, if you look at most churches, they started like this. You know, even big non-denominated churches, the biggest church in the area that I grew up in has this type of story. They were going to a church, and they all started, you know, filling the Spirit, and their preacher preached against it and said, if you believe this, get out. And they all just formed a little, you know, cult, and then called a pastor, and then now they're like the biggest church in the area. That's not how churches start, okay? Mason was a member of the holiness movement of the late 19th century in 1906, yeah. He attended the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles. A lot of good things came out of L.A. Upon his return to Tennessee, he began teaching the Pentecostal holiness message. However, Charles Price Jones and J.A. Jeter of the holiness movement disagreed with Mason's teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So everybody goes to this Azusa Street Revival. where, I mean, there must have been so many demons or something. And people just start going crazy. And obviously to us, speaking in tongues is kind of weird and aberrant. But we have some exposure to it. We've seen some people do it. These people haven't even seen anybody do it. It doesn't exist yet. It's a brand new teaching. Can you imagine walking into a normal church, you've never even heard of this doctrine, and then people are just like, wah, 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 wah. You're like, run away screaming. Why would you say that's the Holy Ghost? This is where this stuff starts. And in fact, you know where this also started? Oneness Pentecostalism too, because they had a divide right here. This is where you get all kinds of weird false doctrine and crazy people and the worst charlatans. You want to know where the worst charlatans of Christianity come from? They come from Pentecostal charismatic churches. Kenneth Copeland, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, I mean, Kenneth Hagin. I mean, you just name a huge, big false prophet. They're always soft on the charismatic beliefs. Even Mark Driscoll, who is a Calvinist, and then gets thrown out of his own church for basically embezzling money through book sales. He writes a book and just happens to buy like $200,000 worth of that book from the church funds and then gives it to people for free. That's interesting how that worked out. So then he makes it to a number one bestseller and then rakes a bunch of profit in from buying the book from himself because nobody else wants to buy his stupid book. I mean, so he gets thrown out of his own church and now he is charismatic, you know? He starts his Trinity Church in Phoenix, Arizona, or Scottsdale, Arizona, basically. I mean, look, these people are crazy. They're filled with devils. They're full of charlatans, people that don't believe the gospel. Now, they have a bunch of other denominations that basically fall in this Church of God in Christ, because it is basically an umbrella for Pentecostal, okay? United Holy Church of America, African Union First Colored Methodist Protestant Church and Connection. That's a mouthful, man. Apostolic Faith Mission, Church of Christ Holiness. Notice some of the words they keep bringing up. Holiness. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And look, these holy rollers, which is what they've been called, they exude. They're so godly, and they're so separated. And look, they are of the devil. They have nothing to do with God. The Church of Our Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Fire Baptized Holiness Church of God of the Americas. Here's one, Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship. Now, if you drive down 20, you'll pass this huge building. And it has this big banner that says Full Gospel Church. And you're like, well, I don't want a half gospel here, you know? I mean, right? But what do they mean by full gospel? Okay, they don't mean like we looked up in the Bible what the gospel was, the death, burial, and resurrection, and we included all parts of that. No, they take Acts chapter number 2, and they twist that, and they add to the gospel, and then they call it full gospel. Because if you don't get baptized by the Holy Ghost and you start speaking in tongues, they don't believe you have the full gospel. That's why you walk up to the door, and you're like, you know, are you saved? And you're like, have you received the Spirit from the Holy Ghost, brother? And you're like, I haven't received that spirit. But I did receive the Holy Ghost when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, it's fake. It's a facade. And I'm going to call it out. It's garbage. The Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, you got your Assemblies of God, you got all kinds of crazy, weird things. And they all basically believe the same, okay? There's not much difference between these crazies, all right? I looked up that full gospel, Holy Temple. Their main pastor, is called Apostle Herman L. Murray Jr. Now, this is something they commonly do. They call themselves apostles. Apostles, according to the Bible, saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. That's what made them special. When did you see Jesus Christ, Herman? You didn't. You're a liar. You're a deceiver. You're a fake. You're a phony. You're a fraud. And you're not even qualified to be a pastor because you only have one son named Hayden. H-A-Y-D-N. You can't even spell it right. It's just stupid. Why is spelling names wrong cool now? And look, we get accused of that, but that's just because they're ignorant that that word's found in your Bible, okay? It's stupid. You're not Hebrew. You don't skip the vowels in English, okay? It's nonsense. And this guy's not qualified to be a pastor, let alone an apostle, yet it's a huge church. There's people filling in these congregations from these liars and charlatans. And you say, why, Pastor Shelley? Because it's a black church. That's why. Because, of course, we just have to fill our church with, well, as long as we're black, it doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what we teach. That's a bad doctrine. Right, that's a bad philosophy. Yeah. I would rather go to a church where I'm the whitest snow compared to every other person in the room, as long as we believe the Bible. Amen. As long as we're on God's word today. Well, you're white. You're not allowed to say anything. I don't care what you think. I'm going to preach the word of God.
Amen.
God made me white, and I'm going to preach what the Bible says, okay? And I'm not against black people. I love black people. We go into the ghetto where it's full of black people, and we preach them the gospel, and we try to love them and try and encourage them to go to church. And they're the ones that say to me, you shouldn't be in this neighborhood dressed like that. I didn't know dressing in a suit was so offensive. What, if I look like a thug now, I'm cool? I mean, they're not going to have respect for me if I dress like a thug, if I dress like a derelict, if my pants are hanging down to my knees. You don't want to see that? I don't want to see that. That's gross. They're the ones that are being racist when they say stuff like that. Here's my second, or the third one. This is the second in the list, but the third church, missionary Baptist churches, okay? If you don't realize that's a black church, it's just because you've never visited one, okay? Now, there is exceptions to this. There are missionary Baptist churches that are not like that, but most missionary Baptist churches are just a black church. They're just filled with people. For one reason, it's because they're black, okay? And look, I'm not against a church filled with 100% black people. There's nothing wrong with that. But if the only reason you're coming is for that reason, that's bad. That's a bad reason to go to a church. Now, where did the missionary Baptists come from? Well, in 1814, pretty much all the Baptists of America joined together in the Triennial Convention. I already kind of preached on this a little bit in the past. So it was basically just one denomination of Baptists, one convention of Baptists. But 30 years later, in 1845, there was a split between the Southern Baptist churches and the Northern Baptist churches over the issue of slavery, okay? And guess what? The Southern Baptist Convention failed on that split, all right? I've already preached against them. It's wicked. And it took them till like the 1990s to admit that they were wrong on that one, all right? So you just put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's why you got the 2000 Baptist Faith and Message. If you know anything about Southern Baptists, they had to write a new doctrinal statement in 2000 because they're like, hey, people keep calling us out for being racist. Because you are. I mean, it's not even a question mark. They were upset that their missionaries, their evangelists, would not be financially supported when they were recognized as a slave owner. So the Northern churches said, you know what? I don't think this slave-owning guy is qualified to go out and preach, you know, for us to give him money to go out and be a good example of Jesus Christ. I don't either. What kind of weird, you know, doctrine do they have to teach how it's good to own slaves? So they formed their whole convention. That was the formation of their convention, which I think is worse than going to a church just because they're black, all right? So guess what? The Southern Baptists, you're worse than the black churches, all right? There, I said it. Now, out of this, you know, people that lived in the South that were black, now where are they going to go to church? You literally have, in fact, these Southern Baptist churches, they would segregate the slaves and the freed people in the congregation. Like the slaves had to sit in one section, and the free people could sit in another section. I mean, very hardcore racism. So, of course, they left. I would. I don't blame people that want to leave that kind of a garbage teaching, that garbage false doctrine. So, by 1880, they pretty much had left and created the National Baptist Convention, okay, which was basically a black movement that's coming out of the Southern Baptist Convention because they're tired of all the racist garbage that's being taught. The convention was in Montgomery, Alabama, not really the North. It's the South, okay? And it was also organized in Atlanta, Georgia. That's where it moved to. And so that's where you get this National Baptist Convention, which is responsible for a lot of Baptist churches that are black-only type churches. Now, one thing that's unique about the missionary Baptists, they didn't necessarily come from this National Baptist Convention per se. Some of it did. Some of it also came from the Northern. So it's basically just them doing a mass exodus from all the Baptist churches, whether they're independent from a convention or whatever, and they're emphasizing missions, okay? Because they don't like the slave owners going out and representing the missions. Now, another thing about missionary Baptist churches, though, is they call the pastor's wife the first lady. So it's kind of funny. Even I think my wife, she's at soul winning, and some lady was like, "So are you the first lady?" And she's like, she actually knew what that meant, but it's kind of a weird term. I'm not going to use that, all right? She's the wife of the pastor. That's what she is, the first lady. It's kind of weird stuff. But it's like the apostle and the first lady. They just love titles, apparently. Well, I looked up some of the missionary Baptist churches in this area and just across the world just to see what they believe. Now, they are kind of independent. They're similar in independent Baptists. In fact, they have a wide range of beliefs. So I don't want to paint every missionary Baptist church as being bad, because I've met people that go to a missionary Baptist church that are definitively saved. They believe the same gospel that I do, but most of the time, they're not saved. You go to Houston, I mean, there is a missionary Baptist church, like four of them on every corner, okay? I mean, there's like 500 churches within like a couple mile radius of our church in Houston, okay? And they're all like these missionary black style type churches. And most of them are not saved. But there's one in DeSoto, CMBC, Missionary Baptist Church. On their doctrinal statement, they say you have to repent of your sins to be saved. I looked at Anchor Missionary Baptist Church, and they say repentance is not a change of mind. And then it says, in order to be saved, you have to make sure that there was a change. Do you have a changed life? I looked at missionarybaptistchurches.com. So this is where they just recommend missionary Baptist churches all over the country. They have a list of them. They say, we condemn the Roman road. They say it's false doctrine to do a repeat after me type presentation. And they basically explain that as saying walking away, having someone prayed that they put their trust and faith in what Jesus did for them. I'm paraphrasing. This is what this main website with all kinds of people listed on it, and like the title page is like how to be saved or like salvation. It's not like an unclear thing. Please take me off that list. You know, if I find myself on a church directory where they're literally condemning the Romans Road, I mean, what? Landmark Missionary Baptist Church, they say the gospel is a demand on your life to confess and repent from your sin. I don't remember that portion of the Bible. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the only demand on me was to believe in Jesus, to put my faith in Jesus Christ, to receive the free gift, which they'll say, they'll give lip service to, yet it comes with the price tag of slavery, literally. I have to surrender all and be willing to surrender to all and just change my life and just completely go after them. Now, I found another one. It's called Sugar Creek Missionary Baptist Church. They had the gospel white, although when I looked, the pastor was white. And look, I'm not saying that white people are better than black people. What I am saying is these black-only type churches that are missionary Baptists are usually wrong on the gospel. From soul-winning evidence, from anecdotal evidence, from the fact that you look at their website, you look at their teachings, and in fact, you listen to their preaching, it's not even preaching. It's singing. You go to a missionary Baptist church, you know what you're going to hear? Singing. And the most popular missionary Baptist church I could find on YouTube, you know, is all about the gospel choir. Woo! Haven of Rest Missionary Baptist Church in Chicago, Illinois. All right? This is like one of the main videos. It's all of them just singing, you know, woo! A wonderful change ha, has come over me. Ha! Woo! Let me just read the lyrics of this song, okay? I can't do it justice for their singing. It's too good for me. Woo! Ha! Here's the lyrics. A wonderful change has come over me. 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 I am not repeating myself. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Now you just sound like an idiot. Why can't you even just make proper grammar? Go to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. Why would I want to go to a church that represents my Lord as being an ignorant buffoon? The things I used to do, I don't do no more. Look, if you speak like that, I will not ordain you, ever. You fix your mouth. You're a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you have to sound ignorant on purpose? And look, if you're ignorant, maybe it's not your fault, but you need to get some education. And why don't you read the Bible? And they want to sing this song about how all these wonderful changes and how I don't do the things I used to do no more. The things I used to say, I don't say no more. Since he came into my life, ha! I added that one. My life is not the same. And it's just this singing and just, woo! Feeling the Spirit, woo! It's ridiculous. This has no content. And then they say, oh man, I really felt it. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm feeling something special. Ha! God's going to save you from your sins. Ha! Woo! Look, this is a show. This is not the Word of God. This is not the gospel. And in fact, it's ignorant of the Scriptures. He says, oh, I don't do the things, you know, that I used to do anymore. Well, let's see what a Christian said in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. So the Apostle Paul, he said, hey, the things that I hate doing, I keep doing them. Yet this gospel church, they need to educate Paul. Because apparently they're so godly, they're so holy, they can get up and preach how they're so much different. You know why they get up and preach that? Because they believe in a works-based salvation.
Right.
Because they believe in a change-your-life gospel. And you know what? They bring all these people into their crowd, all these black youths into their crowd and say, well, if you're not changed, you're not saved. They give them no hope, no truth. They just get up and do a show, a bunch of singing nonsense. And you know what they glorify now? Music. You know what's glorified in the black community? Music today. Not preaching, not the Word of God. This song has no substance. Let me read some more of it because it's so good. Since he came into my life, I'm not the same, a great change. Repeats that a lot. Since he came into my life, I'm not the same. Change, everything changed. He made a change, a great change, great change, great change since he came into my life. A great change, a great change, great change since he came into my life. A great change, a great change, great change since he came into my life. A great change. I wonder when I go and I knock on the door of these people and say, what do you have to do to be saved? Well, you have to change. You think someone that hasn't changed can go to heaven? No. Why? Because they sit here and just repeat how they changed their life so much. They didn't change their life. You didn't clean up your life. You're still a wicked sinner. We all are.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul said he's a wretched man. Look at verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So we see real Christianity points out the fact they're going to struggle with sin. Real Christianity points out the fact that you're not perfect. Real Christianity says, you know what? It's hard to die to the flesh and walk in the Spirit. These Pentecostal churches say, if you just sing loud enough about how much you changed, I guess it happened. It's garbage. Missionary Baptist churches. They don't emphasize the preaching. They're not emphasizing the Word of God. You know, you could say about this song, because it never uses the name Jesus, you know, it would be a great change if it came to your life, cocaine. Isn't that interesting? A great change came to my life since he came in. Yeah, cocaine will change your life pretty good. How about the devil? Big change come in your life when the devil comes in. How about the Antichrist? You can't even mention the name of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, a great change came to my life. Yeah, since you went to that wicked church where you're hearing all kinds of false information, since that apostle came in your life, he's not going to help you out. He's going to take your money and laugh all the way to the bank in his Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
And look, these black churches are flashy and showy. Mm-hmm. More than anything I've ever seen. They have rims that are like gold plated. They'll roll up to their little shack of a church with their Rolls Royce and all their chains and all their gold and silver and precious stone. It's a joke today. And someone needs to call it out because that's the problem. And look, white churches are just as messed up as black churches. I don't want to go to a church where it's only based on white people either. That's called the Ku Klux Klan. I'm not interested, okay? I'm not going to that church either. That's terrible. But the response is not to then go to a church that's black only. The response is go to a church that's Christ only.
Amen.
That's about the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice.
Yeah, right.
And you know what? The Southern Baptists were racist too. I don't have any good things to say about that. Church needs to be about Jesus. Now, I looked up this church that I'm talking about. They do all this sing-song stuff. If you look at their about to, they're really pushing this dialogue about how they're part of this convention called the Progressive National Baptist Convention. Okay? So they're taking that name, that National Baptist Convention I mentioned earlier, but they're saying progressive. Okay, so real progressive. They say the PNBC movement supported Dr. Luther King Jr.'s struggle for freedom for African Americans. It was the PNBC that provided a denominational home for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and many of the Baptist leaders and the civil rights movement. They all became important forces in the life and work of the Progressive National Baptist Convention. So are they talking about Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Revelation, Jesus Christ, his death, burial? No, you know what they're talking about? Martin Luther King Jr. and civil rights. I wonder what they're going to be preaching about. I wonder what their emphasis is on. Oh, about how we're so oppressed and everybody's just trying to kick us while we're down and we're so underprivileged and we're just always being attacked and we need, you know, to fight back. And we need to get in the battle, and we need to have great leaders like Dr. Luther King Jr., who's like the worst person, okay? I looked up their convention. This is what they said. It's a movement which reflected the religious, social, and political climate of its time. Its mission was to transform the traditional African, the civil rights movement, and was begun by some of the same persons who were deeply involved in the freedom movement for African Americans in the United States. The need for a convention which would embrace tenure of office and leadership was a shared need among a cross-section of Baptists, American Baptist Convention, as well as society. The formation of the convention was wrapped up in it. So they're saying, you know, one of our main goals is to transform America based on its civil rights leaders, okay? And one of those main people is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Well, here's a quote from your Baptist leader, okay? This is what he said. He said, a supernatural plan of salvation, the Trinity, the substitutionary theory of atonement, and the second coming of Christ are all quite prominent in fundamentalist thinking. Amen. That's like our doctrinal statement, all right? Core beliefs. He says, such are the views of the fundamentalist, and they reveal that he is opposed to theological adaptation to social and cultural change. Amid change, all around, he is willing to preserve certain ancient ideas, even though they are contrary to science. So Martin Luther King said, hey, you know that gospel, that salvation plan that you have, and the Trinity, and the fact that Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins, and the second coming of Christ, that causes people to just think about spiritual matters and disregard all the cultural issues, even though all those things are against science. Meaning what? He denies the virgin birth. He denies a supernatural plan of salvation. What would be the opposite of that? A carnal plan of salvation, doesn't it? Because that's what he's all focused on. That's what he believes in. That's what he's a preacher of. He denies the Trinity. Those people are always bad, okay? Always bad. The substitutionary theory of atonement, he calls it a theory. You can just see his disrespect in his heart towards the Bible. This is supposedly your Baptist leader. But what was he pushing? He's pushing for social and cultural change. That's what he's pushing for. Not anything to do with the Bible. And you know what these churches do? They push for social and cultural change, not the Word of God. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. You say, what's the power of God? It's the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the Bible.
Yeah.
Singing the Psalms. You know what? I can sing the psalm monotone and white as all get out, and it has the power of God. Than me getting up and juking and jiving and saying a bunch of nonsense and trying to do, you know, walk backwards, do a moonwalk or something, trying to be like Michael Jackson in my pimp suit up here. Ha! Woo! Ah! It's garbage. That is not the Lord Jesus Christ. That is blasphemy and disrespectful, and I will not stand for it. And it's ruining America today.
Yeah.
I'll call it out. I don't care. You know, the Bible says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Any of you that listen to the news are wicked on a regular basis. If you believe the news and you just constantly listen to the news, if you believe the news dialogue on virtually any issue, you're wicked. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. If you can believe anything that Don Lemon says, or Shepard Smith, or what other fags are out there, probably all of them. I mean, yeah, Anderson Cooper. I mean, even the guys that seem like a conservative, they're Catholic. They're Episcopalian. They're not Baptist. And they're certainly not this kind of Baptist like us. They're more like the Martin Luther King type of Baptist. Now, he gets worse. There's this article or this letter that was released from the National Archives, and I believe in Hoover's documentation or something like that. It's about Dr. King, and supposedly the FBI was putting, you know, illegal wiretaps on his phone and doing stuff that was bad. But the information gets leaked, so can't really take that one back. Now, it's an anonymous letter. There's some contention over it, yet it seems like it's probably legit based on a lot of the information that's being put forward. There's a lot of other corroborating witnesses and accounts. But this is what this account says of your Dr. King, your guy that you're lifting up in your Baptist church, okay? In view of your low grade, this is the author to Dr. King. Abnormal personal behavior, I will not dignify your name with either a Mr. or a Reverend or a doctor. And your last name calls to mind only the type of king such as King Henry VIII and his countless acts of adultery and immoral conduct lower than that of a beast. You say, that's a pretty harsh comment. Well, it says, King, look into your heart. You know you are a complete fraud and a great liability to all of us Negroes. Now, based on that statement, it would actually indicate that the author is black himself, being upset with Dr. King. Don't get mad at me. Oh, you're just white. You hate black people. I don't hate black people. I love black people. I love all of the Lord's precepts. Therefore, I hate every false way. And I'll preach against it. I'm not as scared of being called a racist just because I preach against black churches. I haven't said anything about their skin color. I've said stuff about their doctrine. Okay? And their leader, who's a serial adulterer. Let's keep reading this article. Said, white people in this country have enough frauds. Amen. Joe Biden. The list goes on. And have their own. But I am sure that they don't have one at this time that is anywhere near your equal. He just hadn't met Hillary Rodham Clinton yet, okay? You are no clergyman, and you know it. I repeat, you are a colossal fraud, an evil, vicious one at that. You could not believe in God and act as you do. Clearly, you don't believe in any personal moral principles. King, like all frauds, your end is approaching. You could have been our greatest leader. You, even at an early age, have turned out to be a leader, but a dissolute, abnormal, moral imbecile. We will now have to depend on our older leaders like Wilkins, a man of character, and thank God we have others like him. But you are done. Your honorary degrees, your Nobel Prize, what a grim farce, and other awards will not save you, King. I repeat, you are done. No person can overcome facts, not even a fraud like yourself. Lend to your carnal, I'm censoring this a little bit. Lend your carnal, psychotic ear to the enclosure. You will find yourself in all your dirt, filth, evil, and moronic talk exposed on the record for all time. I repeat, no person can argue successfully against facts. You are finished. You will find on the record for all time your filthy, dirty, evil companions, male and females, giving expression with you to your hideous abnormalities. This guy's saying this guy's having partners left and right, male and female. He says, and some of them pretend to be ministers of the gospel. Oh, that's a shock. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says they're having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Wicked people. He says, Satan could not do more. What incredible evilness. It is all there on the record. Your carnal parties. Listen to yourself, you filthy, abnormal animal. You are on the record. So the attached with this letter an audio recording copy of all the stuff that they have exposed on him. In 2027, it's supposed to be released to the public. I don't know. I don't want to listen. I'm sure some freak will tell us all about it. He says, this is but a tiny sample. He said, yes, from your various evil playmates on the East Coast to others on the West Coast and outside the country, you are on the record, King, you are done. The American public, the church organizations have been helping, Protestant, Catholic, and Jews, will know you for what you are, an evil, abnormal beast. So will others who have backed you. You are done. It sounds like this guy believes the reprobate doctrine. I'm on board. This is their leader. Someone who denies the Trinity, denies the gospel. You have Baptist churches lifting up this guy, just spreading lies, spreading false doctrine. And look, some of the things that Dr. Luther King said were good as far as his public speeches. He says he hopes that people aren't judged based on their skin color, but on their character. I agree. But your character sucks. I mean, your character is one of a reprobate. You don't want to be judged based on that. You'd rather be judged by affirmative action, Dr. King. Which you're in hell now. You know who the real racists are? It's the black Hebrew Israelites. Yeah. It's these people that think they're special. And look, there's racists in every category. There's white people that are racist. There's black people that are racist. There's Hispanic people that are racist. There's Asians that are racist. I mean, look, you try to tell someone from Korea they're from China, or someone from China they're from Japan, and then say they all look the same. They will hate you instantly. You know why? Because they're racist. They're racist against their own kind. Black people are racist against their own black brethren. You're not black enough. Unless you're a Democrat, then you can be like a white black person and just and somehow it counts. Cory Booker. The guy looks white, yet he's somehow a black guy. I mean, he's the most white black guy that they can get to represent them. And look, the black Hebrew Israelites, they're double racist. First of all, they have to categorize themselves as black and then Hebrew. We need as many racist categories to put ourselves in as possible. And look, when you meet these people, they hate other races. They hate white people. They despise white people. That's real racist. The black Hebrew Israelite movement, it was founded by Frank Cherry and William Sanders Crowdy, who both claimed that they had revelations in which they believed that God told them that African Americans are descendants of the Hebrews in the Christian Bible. Oh, some devil came and whispered in the ear that they're special based on their skin color. Cherry established the Church of the Living God, and it was then founded the Church of God. Oh, yeah, that sounds familiar. The Church of God, okay. It's because it's the same. It's the same garbage. These black churches. Look, there's nothing special about skin color. Nothing. And look, Jesus Christ wasn't Snow White either, okay? I don't believe that he's some white hair, white skin, blonde hair, blue eye, long-haired hippie, you know, soft, effeminate. Look, that's a fake Jesus too, okay? He probably looked Middle Eastern, all right? So there. I mean, he probably looked more like the Arabs than he did like me. Yet we don't go around worshiping the Arabs as being special either. It's nonsense. The black Hebrew Israelites, their Church of God, they have adopted rites drawn from both the Old and New Testaments. Its Old Testament observance include the use of the Jewish calendar, the celebration of Passover, yet I don't know where the lamb is. Isn't that funny? They never have the lamb. The circumcision of infant males, the commemoration of the Sabbath on Saturday, and the wearing of yarmulkes, okay? That's these really weird hats. It's called a kippah in Hebrew, okay? It's a brimless cap. So they just try to be Jewish. Look, this is like a mockery. I think Jews are like, let's just trick blacks into thinking that they're Hebrew just so we can make fun of them. And they wear these weird clothing outfits that are bright colors, and they go stand in the street corner and argue at the wind, okay? I've seen them in Houston. You go down to Sugar Land, the Sugar Land Square, they're always on the square corner. They're always there arguing with themselves, just they're screaming and yelling and just mad at life, okay? And look, this is a bad way to live your life. And I've been soul winning in poor black neighborhoods, and Hebrew Israelites ruin it all the time. That's real racism. And they always want to lift up Martin Luther King Jr., you know. He's not even alive anymore. He's dead. Jesus is alive, though. Why don't we champion for him?
Amen.
I went to soul winning in Jacksonville, Florida. It was a predominantly black neighborhood, not very receptive. And usually they are. Usually I think that they're pretty good, but I think it was infested with these Hebrew Israelite losers. And if, at one point, I'm giving a young girl the gospel. She's very interested. I'm almost finished. And this stupid loser, black Hebrew Israelite, comes out of nowhere and just starts screaming in both of our faces. White man, religion, the devil! You guys are the Satan! And just screaming. The girl runs away scared. He's condemning his own kind. He's condemning this young girl from hearing the gospel. She was almost about to get saved. I mean, she was believing it. She was very receptive. I just turned around and screamed at him and told him he's wicked. Go to hell. And then I left, all right? But here's the thing. It wasn't because he was black. It was because he's a false prophet.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's teaching false doctrine. I'm trying to get one black person saved while the other one's trying to attack me. Like, it has nothing to do with skin color. Yet you go in these areas and they hate on white people. Look, I don't hate anybody based on their skin color. I love every single skin color, and I want to preach them the gospel. Yet there's a lot of liars in our country today that are trying to pit people against one another based on their skin color. And you know what? These churches are not helping. These churches are the problem. These churches going around trying to gather people together and act like they're a victim and act like they're being attacked and teaching a bunch of lies and lifting up, you know, adulterous losers like Martin Luther King Jr. You know why the racism exists in this country also? You got another false prophet called the news media.
Yeah, right.
The news media is one of the worst false prophets on the planet today. And, of course, they want to promote one agenda, the Democratic agenda. But isn't it interesting? If you look at American demographics, currently, American demographics, 60% of people are white, non-Hispanic. 18% of people are Hispanic. And 13.4% are black. And then it's just like 2% for other minorities, other foreign areas. So about 13% of the American population is black. Yet of the Democratic Party, there was 20 candidates for president. Only two of them were black. So they're only 10%. He's even less represented by blacks in the Democratic Party. Yet they want to advocate that they're all for black people. What does Joe Biden know about being black? What does Hillary Clinton know about being black? What does Nancy Pelosi know about being black? The only thing that she knows is how to screw up her face like Michael Jackson did.
Yeah.
The only thing more fake than Nancy Pelosi is her face.
That's right.
It looks like a garbage heap that she just, I think she eats Botox for breakfast.
Yeah.
It's so disgusting and gross. And look, I like the way the old people look. Don't ruin your face by injecting chemicals. You never look better. Joan Rivers or whatever, you know, it's like, ah, they look weird. They look bizarre. And that's someone concerned with the carnal. When you're an old person, why do you care anymore? Because you have no character and no integrity, so you have to worry about people, your physical appearance still. 80% of the Democratic candidates were white. And the two black ones, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, they're about the whitest black people I've ever seen. I mean, you look at Cory Booker in the right light, you don't think he's black at all. In fact, when I was counting this, I skipped him several times, not even realizing he was black next to a bunch of white people. It's weird. And yet they want to constantly say, if you're black, you have to vote for Joe Biden. Why? How does he love black people more? He doesn't. The Bible says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Yet the news media wants to constantly put forth this lie that there's all this racism. There's all this battle out there. And they want to push people to riot and to fight and to cause conflict and interest. I mean, this whole stupid situation with this George Mason guy or whatever. George Floyd, who was killed by police brutality. You know what? Police brutality exists and it sucks, all right? You know, white people die too. There's a white guy that died by police brutality in Dallas, you know, this week too. I don't remember hearing any stories about that one. Why? Because they don't care about the police brutality. They don't care about racism. Yet there's riots all over the entire country based on one factor. It's called the news media. Because if the news media didn't exist, there would not be riots in Dallas. There would not be riots in Atlanta. There would not be riots in Houston.
Right.
Why are they doing that? They're trying to cause problems, which the Bible already told us there would be perilous times, wouldn't there? And of course, the Democrats have to go forth and present themselves as being more godly and more loving and more kind and more compassionate. We're not racist like these Republicans are. You're the most racist. These Democrats do not love black people. They hate black people. They want to use them and abuse them.
Yeah.
And it's lies. And if you listen to these lies, if you look at the news media and you say, this is the type of mentality that I need to have, this is the type of ideology that I have to have, you're hearkening to lies. They're lying to you. I love black people. You say, what's the cure? Get out of these black churches and get in a real church. Start worrying about spiritual matters and not the carnal matters. And you know what? I don't buy into this victim mentality. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. This is what they teach and beat into young black men, is this victim mentality. And you know how it's not real? Because you go to a country where there's just only black people and they don't have that. Hey, go visit Jamaica. Hey, go visit the Bahamas. You know what those men don't have? This victim mentality beat into their head. They don't just hate white people because they're white. They don't just think, oh, you can't come in here with a suit. Look, you go to Jamaica and all the black people are wearing suits too. And they wake up at 6 a.m. and they go to work and they work hard and they're kind and nice people. And yeah, they have problems too, like every other area and every other nation. You know what? They have different problems than the inner city Chicago area, than the Minneapolis area, than Detroit, Michigan area. Why? Because they don't have this stupid victim mentality. And I get sick and tired of this victim mentality. Even white people get this stupid thing. Men going their own way. You are a victim of yourself. You're a loser. Just jump off the cliff already. Look what the Bible says. This is where the victim mentality comes from, all right? Let's just get the Bible. Proverbs 15, verse 19. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. You know, the guy that's lazy, the guy that's slothful, everything just is so awful. Oh, it's going to be so difficult, and there's all these thorns along the way, and I don't want to have to do anything. You mean I'm going to have to actually educate myself, and I'm going to have to start talking like a normal, decent human being? I have to put a belt on. I can't be a thug. I can't go around and be disrespectful and keep a job. I can't just constantly do drugs and hookers and think that I'm just going to get away with it. Oh, I'm such a victim. You're not a victim. You're lazy. You're slothful. And look, most of them are a welfare state. You go to some of these poor black areas, and it's a welfare state. They have this victim mentality. And look, there's plenty of successful black people. Barack Obama's elected president. How is that even possible if our nation's so racist? There's only 13% black people. Yet a black person was nominated as the president with the popular vote. Explain to me how we're racist. It doesn't even make sense. They just want both sides of the cake, both sides of the aisle at this point. And look, there's racists all over this country and all over this world. Everybody hates America. I mean, we all hate China, apparently. You know, I don't. We have to constantly talk about we hate China and hate all these other areas. We hate everybody in the Middle East. Apparently that racism is okay. It's okay to hate Arabs and to demonize Arabs, okay, but not, you know, black people. And look, demonizing anybody's bad. It's always wrong.
Right.
And you say, what's wrong with the black community? Well, they have this stupid victim mentality. They have horrible churches. The news media is constantly pushing forth lies to push their agenda, because they need to get elected, and they'll say anything to get elected. Anything. They'll contradict themselves every other sentence just to get elected. Just to make it, they're like a false prophet. Salvation's a free gift, but if you're not living a good life, did you accept the free gift? And if it's a free gift, you don't have to do anything to get it, just believe. But if you believe, are you doing all the works? But nobody's perfect, so that's why we have grace. But are you using God's grace to just live however you want? It's just like, I have no idea what you believe.
Yeah.
Where are we going? That's the news media. One day you're racist, now you're not. The cops are good, the cops are bad. Everyone's racist, no one's racist. It's just like, I don't know what they're saying. It's just lies. And this affirmative action, look, the people that are truly being targeted are white people. And I don't care. I'm not going to take that victim mentality. Affirmative action. There's literally, in fact, Asians too. Asians will not get into universities with other minorities scoring worse on their test scores and everything like that because they can only have a certain amount of every single demographic. They'll say, we can only have like 5% Asians accepted into this university. So even though like 10% would be Asian because they're all better at the test scores, I mean, the math thing's real, okay? Why? They work hard. They have a better culture, okay, overall. But Proverbs chapter 1, that's where I want you to go for a moment. Look, don't buy into this victim mentality and telling everybody that they're bad and they have no friends and nobody likes them, because you know what they're trying to push them into? They're trying to push them into gangs. And the Bible preaches against this. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down in the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. I guess they're going to Target, aren't they? Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse, my son. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Saying, look, don't go and hearken to these losers. This is a picture of gangs. You know what's affecting the black community, the churches, the news media, their victim mentality, and the gangs. The gangs disproportionately affect these people. And notice what their motive is, greedy of gain. Now, why are all these black kids going into the gangs? Well, I just typed in rap songs about money. Gangstar, all for that cash. Top song. Kendrick Lamar, Money Trees. Gangsta Boo, Where Dem Dollars At? That makes me think of that other black song where they can't spell anything right. Oh, but that was a church song, so it's better now. Eric B., Paid in Full. Bone Thugs and Harmony, Oh That Love of Money. Junior Mafia, Get Money, featuring Notorious B.I.G. Lil Wayne, Money on My Mind. Here's the lyrics of this song. Get money, get money, get money. You know where he learned to do that stupid repeating lyric? His church. Puff Daddy and the Family, It's All About the Benjamins. Lil Wayne, Make It Rain. Lil Wayne, Got Money. I wonder what Lil Wayne's thinking about. It's like every song. 50 Cent, he made a movie called Get Rich or Die Trying. There was a song that's pretty popular. I'm not even going to say the name of it. It's called Bleep, The Police. Oh, and then I wonder why there's all these thugs going around vandalizing stores and attacking police officers. And you know what? It's a game of feudalism because you're never going to win. They have riot shields and tanks. Have you seen some of these police cars? They have shotguns. They have the authority to just kill you and snipe you. I mean, it's like us going into the Middle East and attacking. They're just hiding in caves and stuff. At least they're smart enough to hide in caves. Look, young black guys are being drug out in the streets and just beaten by police at their own will. It's stupid. These gangs are constantly ruining society. Now, we talked about the demographics of our country. Well, what's the demographics of gangs? 44% Hispanic. 35% African American. So they're 13% black, yet they're 35% in the gangs. 14% Caucasian, 5% Asian, 2% other. In fact, every minority group is more disproportionately affected in the gangs. How about the age of gang members? 13% are over the age of 24. That means that 87% of gang members are younger than 24 years old. Look, they're trying to ruin the black community. You go to church where they just sing about how you're so afflicted and Martin Luther King and woo! And then you just go home and you listen to Lil Wayne talk about get money or die trying, you know, or G-Unit or 50 Cent or whoever you want to listen to, make it rain. Most of them are sodomites too. Most of these faggot rappers, they talk a big talk. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 55, you don't have to turn there, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. You want to go and follow these lies? And look, the Democrats love this because they're going to constantly push welfare. They're going to constantly support these black agendas and these black lies and pushing people into these systems. And then just guess what happens when you push all these kids in these systems and they sing songs called like F the Police? You know what happens? They provoke the police. And then a police officer who loses his control ends up doing some damage. And guess what? There's smartphones everywhere to catch every bad thing that ever happens. And guess what the media wants to promote? Oh, yeah, the time the police brutalized a black person. Even though I guarantee there's been black police officers brutalizing white people at times, or Hispanics, or Asians. Where's that news coverage? Nobody cares about that news coverage. Or whites on whites. Police brutality just exists. And if you're just waiting for one incident, you're going to find it. Especially when you're pushing for it. When you're allowing it to happen. Kanye West, he doesn't make it better. Another fake and phony. Look, the black community has been infected with so many false prophets and so many liars and deceivers trying to rip them off like Kanye West. Where's he at now? He's like the coronavirus. We don't even know about him anymore. His song, Through the Wire, trying to be a millionaire. He just loves money. You say, what's the problem with the black community? Well, the churches, the news media, their songs, their music. How about all their bastard children? You say, this is a long sermon. Well, I need to get some things off my chest, all right? When Monaghan wrote in 1965 on the coming destruction of the black family, the out-of-wedlock birth rate was 25% among blacks. So in 1965, a quarter of black children born were out of wedlock. In 1991, 68% of black children were born outside of marriage. In 2011, 72% of black babies were born to unmarried mothers. In 2015, 77% of black babies were born to unmarried mothers. Estimated to be 80%. You say, where's the problem? Why are all these kids going to the gangs? Well, they don't have a dad. So guess who their dad is? Joe Biden. And you know what? Joe Biden doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's not your daddy. He's your devil, okay? It's sick. It's gross what's happening to these people. And they need to have someone tell them the truth. But there's so many people afraid to expose all this damage. Because then they'll be called racist, right? I'm racist for saying having kids out of wedlock's bad. I'm racist for saying false gospels are bad. I'm racist for saying that the news media lies. Okay, if you didn't know that one, I mean, come on. I'm bad for saying that the rappers and the thugs today trying to get people infected with the love of money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
And it is as true as the day is long. And they lift up new cultural leaders. So they had Martin Luther King Jr. of the past. Who is the news media and all these black people trying to push for today as their new champion, as their new leader? Black Lives Matter. Yet you go to their website, just right in the front, basically. It says, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. So they say, we don't want to have a normal family. We don't want a mom, a dad, and children. We want to disrupt that. You already did it. Almost 80% of children are born out of wedlock. You know what they're trying to do? Keep the problem going. They're not trying to fix anything. They say, we foster a queer-affirming network. Because Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with your skin color. It has everything to do with sin, filth, and smut. says, when we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather the belief that all in the world are heterosexual unless they disclose otherwise. That's the reality. I wouldn't even think it was possible if I didn't know that fags existed, okay? No one thinks about that. No normal person desires that. Just like I don't desire to eat excrement, I don't desire to be with a man. And in fact, the excrement is more likely. I'm more likely to think about eating that. That's how stupid and insane. Yet this is their champion. It sounds a lot like somebody I remember. Oh yeah, Martin Luther King Jr. It's just, we didn't know about all of his faggotry. We didn't know about all of his adultery. It wasn't as open. It wasn't as widespread back then. Well, the advent of social media, we pretty much know everything about these fags now, these queers. Look, we need some real black heroes. I want real black people to stand up and say, you know what? We need to believe the gospel today. We need to stop listening to this garbage music and sing the spiritual hymns and songs. Amen. We need some real black men of God to stand up and say, you know what? Fornication is wicked. And to say these rappers are wicked. And to say the news media is lying to me. All lives matter. This Black Lives Matter is garbage. They're all about promoting faggotry. Okay, and we need some real black men to get up and preach the reprobate doctrine.
Yeah,
it needs it bad. Atlanta needs it bad. Fags abound. Go over to Revelation 7, last place I'll return, all right? The Bible says, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. I want to deliver every black person from these black churches that preach a false gospel. I want to deliver these black, you know, precious people from all the lies of the rappers today. All the lies of their culture that's telling them that they're a victim. They're not a victim. We get the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
There is no victimhood. Look, one of these young black kids that has no, you know, good situation, if they get plugged into this church and become a soul winner and love the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be one of the greatest people to ever live. There's nothing holding them back. There's nothing holding anybody back from being a great person in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to deliver them from these Black Lives Matters and this stupid garbage Martin Luther King Jr. heroes. Get new heroes. Get better heroes. Why don't you be someone's hero? Why don't you raise yourself up and say, you know what? I'm going to be a good example. I'm going to have a job. I'm going to marry a godly woman. I'm going to raise a godly family. I'm going to be a preacher of the gospel and of righteousness. Don't get this stupid victim mentality. And guess where we're going to see you? In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. The God of the Bible is the God of the whole earth. He's not a respecter of persons, and neither am I. And we as God's people need to constantly lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, not fall victim of this world shenanigans. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for giving us just a consistent message. Thank you for not being a respecter of persons, but loving us all. Red, yellow, black, and white, we're all precious in your sight. I thank you for the blood that atones us all. I thank you for the one blood that we've all been created in. I pray that people would just care about the truth today. And I pray that you would help expose light to all the deception and lies that have constantly harassed, you know, black people or anybody, any kind of minority, any kind of white person, anybody. I pray that you would just expose all of this wicked agenda and all this evil filth and lies that are being spread, and that the truth could just be preached from the housetops today, that many people could be saved and start serving you in sincerity and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.